Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Thriller Podcast. Today we are talking Coinbase. That's right, they're in the news again. And if you have been sleeping under a rock this weekend, you probably haven't heard what happened. Then we have Peter Thiel. That's right, the co-founder of PayPal is in the news as well. And then finally, in our main topic, we're discussing Stellar Lumens. That's right. Is this a shilling episode? No, it's not. Thriller Podcast, starting now.
Welcome to Thriller with Car Gonzalez. Broadcasting from Austin, Texas, via SoundCloud and supported by listeners like you. It's time for the news. 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 Thriller with Car Gonzalez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Thriller Podcast. That's right. It's July 16th, 2018, the year of our Lord. So it looks like Coinbase has stepped it up. That's right. They finally stepped up. I'm serious. They stepped up big time. So they announced on Friday that they are going to be adding 5 new coins, but not all 5. According to their new announcement, the exchange is looking into adding 5 new coins that might be added to its very short list of offered cryptocurrencies. The altcoins in question, Cardano, ADA, Stellar Lumens, XLM, 0x, Basic Attention Token, BAT, Zcash, ZEC. So they announced this on Friday at 3 p.m. The whole crypto world went nuts. And a lot of Ripple holders started crying. But before that happened, they exclusively said, they said this specifically. They said, nothing is confirmed just yet. And do not get hyped up, because what they're doing are merely testing to make sure that they can handle these coins. So if nothing else, none of these might show up, or some of these might show up. The fact remains that they wanted to make sure that they announced it to the world, that they are looking into them, that they are exploring them. So they might see public-facing APIs and other signs that we are conducting engineering work to support these assets. They said that we can't commit on whether these assets will become available at this time. And they'll provide updates via Twitter and their Coinplace blog. So what do I think? I think this is great news, because we have been talking about Stellar and Cardano for nearly a year on this podcast. And if you go back to last year's episodes, man, we were so bullish on them from the get-go. And it's just amazing to see them show up. And it also makes me proud, because like, it's one of those things that, you know, I've researched a lot of stuff, guys and ladies and children out there. I've researched a lot of stuff, and I keep going back to Cardano and I keep going back to Stellar over and over again as really good technology and what they're building and their protocols. They're just doing it right. If you look at all the top 10 coins right now, there's those two specifically are just doing it right. They have their head down. They're working. They're not trying to make anything splashy. They're not trying to catch anyone's attention, you know. And they're just going out there educating people about blockchain technology, about the protocols that they're building, about their network. And that's it. And they're just hitting their updates, you know, month by month by month. And that just shows you hard work pays off, man. I'm a big believer in that. So congratulations to Stellar and Cardano for even, you know, being discussed, you know, about being added to Coinbase. Because honestly, you know, Coinbase controls the vast majority of the U.S. market. And a lot of people, as much as we like to think that we're very niche, a lot of people don't want to go to Bittrex, and they don't want to go to Binance, and they don't want to go to Kraken. They don't want to go to these sites to buy cryptocurrencies, to buy altcoins. It's just the truth. There's a lot of us who are really, you know, really into this space right now. We think that it's just so easy for us. But you got to think, like, a lot of these people are, you know, in their 40s and their 30s, and they're not even in technology, or they're not even in, you know, understanding how any of this crypto stuff works. So I think Coinbase had to do their due diligence, actually look at who they were going to add on there. And they came back and they said, you know, these are actually legitimate projects. These are actually companies that they're actually trying to build out, you know, this new future. So it's really cool. And then we also have BAT on there, but we knew BAT was coming. We've been talking about it for about a month and a half already. We knew BAT was going to show up on there, obviously. Zcash is a no-brainer. Yeah, I didn't think they were going to be adding Zcash just because Gemini already has that in their fold. But I guess they want it on both. And then we have 0x. This is another ERC-20 token. I haven't really done that much research on it. We might have to cover it here pretty soon before any announcement is announced. But yeah, it's exciting news. This brought up the whole market cap on Friday, and it was looking pretty grimish, I'm not gonna lie. Like on Thursday, when we recorded that episode last week, it was looking pretty grim. It was looking really grim because it was just getting worse and worse. So this came at the exact time that we needed it. I was expecting really, you know, spotty reds throughout the month, but man, this helped a lot. We just got $10 billion injected into crypto over the weekend. That happened. So man, good timing on Coinbase to like step it up, because shit, man, it was looking pretty bad, honestly. I thought we were seriously going through some shit. I was still hopeful just because, you know, August was around the corner, but It was looking pretty grim for a second there, but glad to see everything back up. Next up, we have Coinbase. So Coinbase, they actually announced another thing today, which is even bigger than this one. So they announced that they just got the green light from the U.S. watchdogs to move forward with a trio of acquisitions that will allow it to become one of the first federally regulated venues for trading digital coins deemed to be securities. And those are all the ERC-20 tokens. Specifically, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission and the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority approved Coinbase's purchase of Keystone Capital Corporation, Venovit Marketplace Inc., and Digital Wealth LLC. A company spokesman said Monday, the acquisitions enable the firm to offer so-called security tokens and also place a business under federal oversight. Coinbase has primarily been regulated by a patchwork of state authorities. The move provides Coinbase licenses to operate as a broker dealer, an alternative trading system, and a registered investment advisor, the San Francisco-based company said in June. Crazy. So what does this mean overall? What does this mean? So say they wanted to add, let's say, I don't know, EOS. A lot of people have said EOS is likely a security. It definitely looks like one, right? Other people have said Ripple, XRP is a security, right? Because Ripple holds a vast majority of XRP. And you could even call Tron a security, honestly. They had their own ICO, it went public, and now they're creating this whole decentralized net, which is good, but it's still a security, right? They had an ICO. So, I mean, if you look at these coins, this allows Coinbase to go ahead and list those on their platform and allow people to trade with them. And this is a good thing, because this is going to bring more mass adoption to regular investors out there who are looking into getting into these altcoins. So we might even see a surge in some of these altcoins that I just mentioned, or even some other ones, which is pretty interesting to think that a year ago, they only had like four coins on their thing. And I think we might see a run up here. As fast as they can implement, it seems like it's taken them 3 months to add a new coin. Ethereum Classic is one of them, but you would think that would be a lot easier to handle. Another thing that most people haven't mentioned out there that I've been reading today is Stellar. So Stellar has its own decentralized exchange. You can create your own decentralized exchange on top of the Stellar network. And what's cool about it is you can have different tokens and ICOs on there. And I said at the time that Mobius was going to be a very big cryptocurrency, because they had their own ICO and they had their own token offering on the Stellar platform, and it was big. It was really big. And honestly, the Mobius team is legit as hell. So that was one that we brought up earlier this year that we said, take a look at this one. But what that means though, and this is why I'm even more bullish on them adding XLM, Coinbase that is, is if you implement something like XLM into their platform, into the Coinbase platform, it'll be a lot easier for them to add Mobius and other coins that are offered on the Stellar decentralized exchanges, just insert it in there, just like currently right now how they have Ethereum and they're going to be adding ERC-20 tokens. They could potentially add all these XLM ICO tokens inside of their Coinbase platform, and that's going to be killer, really killer. And I can't wait till they do that, because I can't wait to see how it's all going to turn out. But I think that's one of the main reasons to be adding XLM on there and to be allow people to buy it, because man, after seeing Coinbase look at Stellar XLM, it's really opened my eyes a lot to a lot of different things that potentially could happen now. It's big. It's really big. And then our second piece of news is Peter Thiel. So Peter Thiel and Bitmain invest in Block One. So developers of EOS Block One have received a further round of investment from backers, including Peter Thiel, Bitmain, Lewis Bacon, and Alan Howard. This follows recent support by Mike Novogratz, Galaxy Digital, and new hiring appointments to the Block One team. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that they're invested in EOS. I know a lot of people are out there saying, oh, this is good for EOS. It is, because Peter Thiel probably owns some EOS, which is good. But Block One is the company that created EOS, right? So I don't know if you guys remember those interviews that we saw with Dan Larimore. Go back and listen to the old EOS episode that we did earlier this year. But he literally said that he wants to be able to create his own projects. This guy gets bored, man. He's one of those dudes that wants to go create a project, and then after that, he wants to go create another project. So it's very likely that, yes, he's working on EOS right now, probably for the next year or so, just to get it off its, you know, off the ground, let it get from crawling to walking. And then after that, he's going to bounce and do something else. But he's going to stay within Block One, and he's going to create another blockchain. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm saying, like, this is what this guy does, Dan Larimore. This is what I see. And to me, when I see Peter Thiel, he's investing in Dan Larimore and in Block One. I don't necessarily think he's investing into EOS, but a lot of people think that, and that's cool. But knowing Peter Thiel, he's investing in the jockey, if you know what I mean. Next up is TokenPay. So TokenPay speaks up as a response for Tony Vaes' harsh remarks. So we all know Tony Vaes is kind of a soundbite these days when it comes to bashing Ethereum, bashing anything that's not Bitcoin. And so he just recently took it out on the whole Litecoin TokenPay partnership that happened this past Friday. And he said the same thing. He said the same thing that a lot of people were questioning. And sure enough, Derek Capo, the CEO of TokenPay, responded back. He said, you know what? You can say anything about my life, my past, my financial history, and whatever business that I've been doing, but I always try, and I have a lot of battle scars from dealing with all this stuff in business, and it hasn't been easy, but at the day, that's what you have, a more polished and a more savvy Derek Capo. Yeah, it's pretty interesting, and we know that when I touched on it on, I think it was on Thursday's podcast, touched on it and I said, you know, TokenPay is going to have a hard time with the media out there, because what they're trying to do is very hard when you don't have the media on your side. This is one of the main reasons that Verge struggled, is because they don't have the media on their side. And that's not something you can gain very easily. You have to work at it. And I think that's going to be a continuing theme for him, unfortunately, just because, yeah, I mean, it's tough. The crypto market's very tough. Look at somebody like Justin Sun. He tries very hard to, you know, to pump his coin with different PR announcements, but the vast majority of people out there in the crypto space really don't like him, you know, and there's a lot of other projects that people don't like, and it's very hard when the media doesn't like you as well. So, you know, I hate to say Tone's part of the media now, but he kind of is in a weird way. Anyways, let's get on to interesting video of the day.
Thriller podcast.
interesting crypto video of the day.
So today's interesting video of the day is actually a really good one. It's with Charlie Lee, the creator of Litecoin, and Joyce Kim, the co-founder of Stellar. And what's really cool is they actually have a video together where they're talking to a whole panel of participants about their projects. It's pretty awesome to listen to. It's about an hour and a half long. You should definitely check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes. But you definitely learn a lot of what's going on in this space. And here's Joyce talking about why they started Stellar as a nonprofit.
So the question is, why is Stellar a nonprofit, and what is the need for it?
So we made Stellar a nonprofit primarily for governance reasons. And when you think about the importance of governance, it broke down into several main important issues for us. One was transparency and openness, right? Like, if you look at all of the open protocols that are used for all the other infrastructures in the world, they all still have kind of decision making and everything happening within in a nonprofit situation, so that not one company owns the web, right? If one company owned all of email or all of the internet, it wouldn't have the impact that it's had on the world today. Another reason is to try to avoid the centralization that happens when one company owns the entire coin, right? And then there's certain independence aspects where we have a board of directors that include people that have nothing to do with Stellar or the coins and were never compensated in digital currency. So we have people like Keith Raboy, who was at PayPal, Greg Brockman, who is the former CTO of Stripe, but he's now the CTO of OpenAI, the Y Combinator AI organization, and Shivani, who is the CEO of Tala, which is a remittance company that deals mostly in Kenya and other jurisdictions as well. So that was one of the reasons to have that kind of, and also oversight. We designed a lot of the governance documents of Stellar to make it really hard to do bad things, right? Stellar's actually quite restricted in what it can do. Stellar is a pre-mine for the actual native currency of lumens, but the foundation has to give away almost all of it. We had a 5% holdback for operational expenses, but it has to give it all away, and it's very hard to do anything except that with the entity structure that it is today. In terms of why does there need to be a new coin, so Stellar was launched 2013 or 14 before Ethereum. There is the Lumens, but Stellar is designed to allow you to kind of import any fiat currency or any asset so that you can have a digital dollar, a digital yen, or whatever the case may be. And because we were focused on remittance use cases and kind of microtransactions, or if you're anywhere else in the world, just whatever the transaction is, you would prefer to transact in your local currency rather than in a Bitcoin or whatever the case may be, just because your life is denominated in your local currency. So you can't ask whole communities, especially communities that are in different stages of economic development, to start switching their entire pricing structure over to Ether or Bitcoin or whatever the case may be. So we wanted to have a UI that allowed people to continue to transact in their local currency. What I actually believe, I believe that most of these technologies should be interoperable. And I think that that's kind of a core philosophical issue that's missing from a lot of the debates that you have in our space right now. People believe it's like their way and everybody else must die, right? But I don't think that's a healthy way to have these debates. On some level, I think it's good that we're seeing these kind of philosophical discussions happening in the open and with such a wide audience. But I do wish that we had a more like a kind of collaborative environment for making these decisions. But I do think even as I believe that all the different chains should work together, I think that we should get to the point where fiat and crypto work together seamlessly as well. The world comes in many different political flavors, and I don't think that we as technologists should say that we should design a technology only for one type of political system. There has to be enough diversity in our technology to address the diversity of views in the world, and that's the direction that we should be heading in.
Yeah, you guys need to listen to the whole YouTube video. It's really good because she touches on more subjects other than the one that she just expressed right there, which is, I think she's exactly right. I mean, we need to have, this is why we have Ethereum. This is why we have EOS. This is why we have Bitcoin. This is why we have Litecoin. This is why we have a lot of different types of coin to, for different types of people that want to, attach themselves to one particular coin. But she's right. At the end of the day, we all need to be working together to get that interoperability. And I think we're going to get there. I honestly do. It's going to take a long time, but I think Stellar is having their hand out. And that's one of the reasons why I like this project, that they take themselves out of the situation and being like, you know what, we're just trying to be like the Linux Foundation. You know, go ahead and make your own variants of whatever you want with our protocol and or our network and do whatever you want. But at the end of the day, we're just trying to build a platform for everybody, which is smart. That's the same thing. I'm bullish on Ethereum. They're doing the exact same thing. They're Turing complete though, but other than that, I feel like they're in that same kind of space. And that's why Vitalik is Vitalik, man. The guy gets it. And I think a lot of people that are bullish on Ethereum is because of him. I mean, really, it's because of the leaders in the space. Everybody needs to realize that they're the leaders in the space for a reason, and people should listen up, whether you agree with them or not. Just listen to them. You'll learn a lot, or you'll disagree with them. But either way, let's get on to coin talk. That's right. Let's do it.
It is time. Only crypto, coins, trades, predictions ahead. It is what you spend all day wondering, isn't it? This crypto dream. Only on Coin Talk.
It's time for coin talk. For coin talk. That's right. It's looking pretty good. The market is looking stellar, man. It's looking awesome right now. I love it. It's green. We're up 10 billion. Life is good. Can't complain. Before we touch on everything, we got a couple of things we need to discuss. So we were supposed to launch our Birth Crypto Death podcast on the anchor.fm. channel, but this weekend I started editing the video for our first episode, and gosh, man, that audio is just so it's just so bad. Like I can't release it. Like the audio is bad on this show. Well, I try very hard, but it, you know, I'm not a mixing engineer. But on it was really bad. Like you couldn't really understand a lot of things. What was going on? So we're gonna have Kevin Moore on some other time. So sorry, Kevin, if you're out there. I really wanted him to be the first person on there because he has such a great personality. But if you're interested in anything that he has going on, be sure to check him out. He's at CanadasCryptos.io. Go check it out. He's a great guy, and he's going to be a force in this space for sure. Next up, I want to mention one other thing. So as you know, I just got my CCNA certification about a couple weeks ago, and it's right back to it. I got to get started on my second certification, and that's going to be the MCSA. Yeah, it's just a server, Microsoft Server 2016 certification, but it's one of those where, you know, I got to learn this stuff for my job. It's one of those things where I already know how to use a lot of the server 2016 stuff and implement, you know, different types of things like, you know, Active Directory and, you know, DNS and stuff like that, Hyper-V. But it's one of those things where you have to go and test on it, and you have to pass, and you have to show that you have the certification. So if you guys see some episodes kind of missing during the week, I don't mean like we're going to not have any episodes. I mean, like you might see, like, you know, instead of like a Monday or Tuesday, we're recording or Wednesday, Thursday, it's because I'm studying. Like today, for example, I didn't get off work till probably like 7:30 PM. And by the time I got home, it was like 8 PM. So we're recording this podcast really late. So I'm probably going to get maybe like 4 hours of sleep and then go back to work tomorrow. But I just want to let you guys know, if there ever comes a time where we don't podcast for that evening, we're likely going to podcast the next evening. So don't fret. We're still going to get 3 episodes out during the week. We're going to try, and we're going to still do the YouTube stuff. So that's still happening as well. We released a YouTube show on Friday, actually. So if you haven't checked it out, go ahead and check it out. It's of course it's on Coinbase and the whole thing. And I give you my full first reaction of what I thought about Coinbase adding all these, or possibly adding some of these cryptocurrencies. But yeah, you should check it out. Next up, I do want to mention, man, I've been receiving a lot of interview requests. And so this is for people, this is for the PR people out there who are sending me these interview requests. You know, I really appreciate all of y'all sending me PR requests. Like, I find that really like, exciting because it shows that this space is like, you know, growing, and a lot of people are recognizing that Thriller Podcast is the place to go when you want to, you know, reach out to people that are actually in the dev community and people that are actually, you know, investing in cryptocurrency. And I would say the younger generation out there. If you guys are in an ICO stage right now, unfortunately, we can't have you on the show. And that's just because, you know, I don't want to go to jail. Like, I'm not even lying. Like, I don't want to go to jail. And I know there's other podcasts out there that'll have, you know, people on there, pre-ICO and ICO stage, and will actually pitch their ICO on their podcast and stuff, and will actually give the people... give the people who run the podcast some tokens, you know, from the said ICO. But, you know, Thriller Podcast, we can't do any of that. Like, we can't do any, we can't get involved with any of that. Like, you know, like, it's just, the SEC has already stated that they're not going to put up with any type of, you know, celebrity, you know, pumping ICOs. And nowhere do I think I'm a celebrity, but I do think this platform, our Thriller Army, our Thriller Podcast, you know, Thriller Crypto, that platform has a big reach, and we can't be doing, like, you know, ICO projects on the podcast, unfortunately. So to all the PR people out there, I would say, sorry, we can't do ICOs, but once you launch your ICO and once you get that up and running and you have a working product or you have some kind of product that you want to share with the community, like, dude, hit me up. I will definitely put you on the podcast. You'll be on Thriller Convo, and we'll talk about it. But as far as you still being an ICO stage, we can't have you on the podcast, unfortunately. Sorry to all those people who have been emailing me about that stuff. And I figure I would just say it outright as opposed to, like, you know, sending every email, every person, this is why. Just rather say it right now, here and there. This is why we can't have you on. And then also want to talk to my Thriller Army out there. If you guys are listening, I want y'all to understand that this is a conscious decision. So that way, you know, I don't want us to be like other crypto podcasts out there or like other YouTube channels where we're just like shilling, you know, ICO stuff. I don't want to be the, you know, I hate to say it because I used to really like Ian Bellina, but man, he's just become, you know, the ICO king over there. And he's just like, you know, shilling stuff all the time. And it kind of sucks because I feel like his reputation was intact last year, but now it's just gone the way. And I don't want our reputation as Thriller Podcast to be about pumping ICOs or pumping dumps. We'll leave that for other podcasts to do. We'll leave that for the YouTubers to do. Like, that's just not our space. Our space is more like, you know, we're a community. We're all about blockchain. We're all about, you know, learning. We're all about developing. We're all about talking about coins and stuff like that because we're excited about, you know, mooning and everything like that. So we'll have the crypto talk, but we're not going to be having ICOs come on just so they can, you know, push their agenda down our throats and then try to pay us off. Like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm sure everybody else is good too. So yeah, just wanted to let you guys know that. And then finally, do want to say shout out to Matthew out there. Matthew, if you're listening, I see you working, buddy. I see you working. Keep building, Matthew. Keep building. That's awesome stuff. Let's play our disclaimer.
Remember, Thriller Podcast does not give financial advice. He cannot tell the future. Even if he thinks he can, he is just some dude trying to save the world one Satoshi at a time.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, we've come a long way through our podcast. Like, I remember when we first started, we really didn't know what we were doing. I still feel like sometimes we don't know what we're doing, but I feel like we're getting better. We're slowly getting better. So yeah, man, it's pretty awesome. And I think we're coming up on our full year here. I forget which day it is. I have to go back and look. I forgot to mention, right now we're not currently on Google Play. So if you're trying to get our podcast, I'm hoping to get that fixed hopefully sometime this week. I'm just waiting on Google to implement our new RSS feed. And then whenever they decide to do that, we'll show up on, you know, on their Google Play platform. So yeah, there's that. So if not right now, I would just, you know, try to get another podcast reader, or you can even go to our website, thrillerpodcast.club, and you could stream from there. Honestly, if you guys can never find us like on any kind of like, you know, podcast platform or anything, just go to thrillerpodcast.club, click on our website. The first episode will be loaded right there, like immediately. And, you know, besides our Patreon, our website gets it like almost immediately. So if you ever can't reach the podcast from within a podcast app, that's where you got to go. So let's get started with Coin Talk. So it looks like we got some Bitcoin. Bitcoin at 6,752. The whole market cap is up 10 billion, like I said, and it's $273 billion. That's how much it is right now. It's crazy. I love it. We were at 374, 384, somewhere around there at the height in May. So yeah, man, this has been an exciting weekend. I'm super stoked now because I feel like we're on the upswing. I knew August was going to be a lot better than July, but if this keeps continuing, we might start getting on a roll like we were last year. And shit, man, sky's the limit after that. We got Ethereum at 481, whoo, up 7%. It's awesome. XRP at 48 cents. Even XRP is back up 8%. We got Bitcoin Cash at 804, up 11%. Wow. And EOS, can't believe this. EOS is up to $8.10, up 10%. Good on EOS. We got Litecoin at $84. Man, Litecoin was at $77, I think, on Saturday. It's up 8% today. We got Stellar at 23 cents. It was currently at 20 cents. Whew, it just went up considerably just because of the Coinbase announcement. And then, of course, Cardano right next to it because they love riding next to each other. Looks like they might even enter Coinbase together, which is pretty cool. At 15 cents, at 9%, up 9%. We're gonna talk a lot about Stellar in the main topic, but I will say Cardano, man, this is another project that we have been looking at for a very long time, and I'm just so excited and so stoked for Charles and the rest of the team there at OHK. Like, man, they've been busting their ass, like just trying to do everything right. Like, they've just been doing everything right, you know, getting every document that they're putting out researched and then submitted, and then coming back with fix this, and then resubmitted. Like, actual, man, I just love seeing hard work at play. And whenever I see Charles and Cardano, it's amazing, man. It's amazing. And I'm really happy for him. This shows people out there that if you really want to succeed in this space, just put in the work. Just shut up and put in the work. That's all you got to do, you know. Just work on it every single day and you'll be successful. I'm a firm believer in that, you know. IOTA at $1.09, up 10%. We got Tron at 3 cents, up 8%. We got NEO at $37. I know a lot of people were super upset that NEO wasn't added on there. A lot of people were upset that Ripple wasn't added on there. I honestly think that, you know, this is my opinion and a lot of people will disagree. But I honestly think, guys, like, Coinbase is obviously going after the cryptos they think will last. Because if you got to think about it like this, like, you can go to Binance, you can go to Bittrex, you can go to Kraken, you can go to a lot of different places, and you can purchase any crypto that you want. But when it comes to Coinbase, I guess they're making it clear that they're only gonna bring in cryptos that they've researched thoroughly, that they are 100% sure aren't a security currently right now, and that they're 100% will stick around for the long term, you know. And by them introducing Stellar and Cardano, that's what I would do. I mean, I've been saying it since last year. I mean, once I looked at the technology, what they were building, and then I looked at the team, and then I kept listening to what they were talking about and understanding it a little bit better than the day before. And slowly but surely, I realized, like, this is why. Like, this is exactly why they're going to show up on Coinbase. Like, it's legitimate. Like, it's legitimate. It's legitimate technology that they're going to be working on for the near future. So, yeah, it's not surprising, and it doesn't hurt. You know, it doesn't hurt that you shake hands and kiss babies. I mentioned that on YouTube video. Like, you know, it doesn't hurt that they're not out there shilling their own coin, or they're not out there like pumping the price of their coin by making crazy announcements or out there fighting with other projects. It doesn't hurt that the fact that they're out there not doing that. You know what I mean? So that's another thing a lot of people don't realize, that everybody's watching and listening to you, you know, indirectly. So, you know, when you have somebody like Roger Ver for Bitcoin Cash bashing Bitcoin and bashing other cryptocurrencies, like this is why you have that reputation. You have somebody like, you know, I can go down the list, like Justin Sun, who's just trying to pump his coin every month, every 2 weeks, something else, some other announcement. I mean, this is another reason. I mean, short-term gains and short-term kind of action, you're going to get that kind of results. I mean, you're only going to get out what you put in. And it seems more obvious here in the blockchain space than any other space. So at least to get on Coinbase, for that matter, I mean, I think I saw a tweet from Binance. Was it Binance or Bittrex? No, I think it was Binance. Or no, it wasn't Binance. It was Kraken. They sent out a tweet. They're like, come over to Coinbase. Come over to Kraken. We have over 1,400 cryptocurrencies. We just added 5 more today. They're trying to mock Coinbase. But man, I got to say, it feels really good holding the right coins. And it feels even better the fact that we've been promoting, you know, Stellar and Cardano for over a year, saying that they were legitimate, you know, cryptocurrencies. And turns out Coinbase proves, even a lot of people else prove. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm super bummed out, man. I'm super bummed out on XRP. I thought XRP was going to be something here, but it turns out that, you know, the space doesn't see it that way. This is another thing that most people aren't even discussing today, is that in this space, in this crypto space, in the blockchain space, this fintech revolution that we're going on in right now, like a lot of people are deciding. This isn't being decided by Coinbase. Like they have subsidiaries, they have, you know, the SEC above them. They have a lot of things going on. You know, they have developers that are inside of Coinbase that are looking at what they can implement. Like, they're all deciding, you know what I mean? Like, so the space is deciding, and this is how this happens. If a circle comes out and they say, you know what, we're going to add these cryptos instead, then they're going to add those cryptos. But that's what I'm trying to say. Like, the space is deciding, and this is all you want when it comes to new adoption of technology. You want the space to decide. You don't want certain companies deciding. I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, that's not true because XRP and Ripple, they're afraid of Bitcoin taking up. No, man, it doesn't work like that. Like, it literally is just because they look at XRP, they look at what's going on with them, they look at the different types of technologies that Ripple is doing for them, which is a lot, and it should be commended. But other than Ripple, there's no one else building for them. And that's the biggest problem. And a lot of people aren't willing to look in the mirror and see that. And that's why I'm like, you know, I may be biased on some of my coins that I like, you know, and I may hold XRP, and you know, I may hold these other coins, but I have enough foresight to put all that shit aside and be like, you know what? This is why they don't want it. They don't want it because there's no one else building for XRP out there. Yes, Ripple has this year, you know, invested in, you know, other companies out there. I think there was one company in particular that one of the executives from Ripple left and started their own company so they can work with Ripple and build on top of XRP as well. Like, they're doing it now, and that's good. But this is one of the reasons Jed left, you know, Ripple, is because he wanted to start a nonprofit. He wanted to build something like the Linux Foundation, to where you could literally create in your own little bubble, and all you're doing is just working on the protocol. All you're doing is working on the network, trying to get it more secure, trying to get it better, trying to get it faster, implementing the Lightning Network, implementing everything that you know possible that will help other people, you know, go on top of there and continuously build for other people, give, you know what I mean? That's how you approach it. And he had the foresight enough to see that it wasn't going to work. And that's what he did. And a lot of people are hating on that as well too. I've seen tons of YouTube videos over the weekend, people just going at Jed, and it's kind of like, you're not seeing the bigger picture. You're just seeing the, I hate everything because Ripple's not on Coinbase. And it's kind of like, I don't know what to tell you, bro. It sucks. It sucks because I feel like, honestly, I feel like if the SEC never got involved, I think things would be a lot different. And that's the truth. Like, I feel like if the SEC never got involved this year, say they got involved next year, I think we would see a completely different space right now. Seriously. We would see a completely different space. But the fact is, the SEC didn't get involved. Department of Justice got involved. People started getting lawsuits thrown at them. Like, you know, BitConnect happened. You know what I mean? Like, all this shit happened this year. And of course, they're looking at something like XRP and they're wondering, is that a centralized token or is that a decentralized cryptocurrency? Do you know what I mean? So it sucks, but this is the way it turned out. You can either adjust to it or, you know, take the losses. So I guess my only advice is if you're holding XRP out there and you're hoping for a miracle, it's all going to come down to that court case. But even if it gets labeled a security, it turns out that maybe Coinbase will be able to hold XRP as a security on their platform. So that's a win-win, I guess, right? So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. I was going to do the whole coin market cap, but everything's up, man. Everything is up. We have nothing to worry about today. We'll cover the rest tomorrow. With that, let's get into our main topic. will say right now, none of this is financial advice. If you're going to invest in XLM, do so at your own risk, not mine. And above all else, do your own research. Don't trust me. Don't trust me. I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. All right, I think that's it. I guess now we can begin. Today we are talking solar gambling on Stellar. Has a nice ring to it. I wouldn't say it's gambling. It's more like solar. No, seriously, it's an interesting time to be in cryptocurrency. It really is. There's something about Stellar that I'm just drawn to it. I don't know what it is. There's this team that they have. It's comprised of really A all-stars, in my opinion. And then you have this little crypto called XLM. Not only do they have a Stellar decentralized exchange, that's one. Not only are they building the Lightning Network on Stellar, that's two. But they go about it in a very quiet way, and that's probably one thing that I like the best. If they were a basketball team, they would be most undoubtedly the San Antonio Spurs. Back in the heyday, of course. No, but seriously, this is such a great team. I love what they're building. And above all, I like who is running the show. And that's Jed McCaleb. Check this out.
Let's see. I've been programming since about third grade. Once I learned you could make video games, that a person could make them, I just got super excited and started trying to do that. I've been in distributed systems for a long time. One of my early projects that people were interested in was called eDonkey 2000, which was a file sharing system, which is like a peer-to-peer network. And I've always been interested in kind of democratizing like sources of power, like limiting sources of power. And so like the file sharing was kind of an effort to do that. But when I learned about Bitcoin in 2010, I got super excited because this was like a much more visceral and powerful way to do that, right? So, I got super into Bitcoin, and just kind of as an attempt to kt of learn the system, I created Mt. Gox, that exchange. It got pretty popular. I sold it to this guy in Japan who unfortunately was pretty incompetent and tanked it. And I was always, after that, I was kind of thinking of other ways to improve, because what Bitcoin showed is that you can have this public ledger out there in the world that everyone can see, but no one can change arbitrarily, which is a really powerful idea. But the mining process always kind of bothered me because it's like super inefficient and extremely wasteful. And so I was trying to think of other ways to solve the consensus problem and kind of came up with the idea that led to Ripple. And after that, then I came up, like had further tweaks on it, working with Professor David Mazaris and we created Stellar. As part of this blockchain journey, I guess, I kind of realized how broken the financial payment systems are of today. And it's sort of an attempt to fix that, right? So basically the way money moves around the planet now is like very much pre-internet. There's all these different payment networks like ACH here, SEPA in Europe. There's mobile money things like M-Pesa. And there's like things like PayPal. And none of these things interoperate, right? And Stellar is a way to be this like internet level protocol that combines these things that is a common language for these things to send value from like one network to another. And that's the basic idea. So, the thing about these blockchains, they all kind of get lumped together, but they're all kind of solving pretty different use cases. Like Bitcoin's trying to be a new currency. Ethereum's trying to be this like distributed compute thing. And Stellar is trying to be this like new like internet level protocol for payments, right? They're all pretty actually different. So.
So one of the main things that people confuse in this space, especially with Stellar, is the IBM relationship. Yeah. And then some people also wonder Hyperledger, because that's associated with IBM, of course. So I think what I'm trying to do here is just try to explain how that all works. So Stellar is an associate member of Hyperledger. Yes, the Stellar Foundation is a nonprofit, but Stellar's code is open source and pretty much accessible to anybody. Now, the open source licensing is also compatible with Hyperledger's model. So if you look at Hyperledger kind of like a toolbox, and Hyperledger Fabric and Stellar as just like a hammer and a nail, and the various, you know, services that IBM provides, because of course they're building their own products built with those tools, Hyperledger and Stellar. The IBM payment solution that they're trying to develop for all these banks is a way to do global payments and to provide a lower cost in real time. So I think as the technology moves forward, you will see other businesses, you know, grabbing what Stellar has offered as open source software to the community along with Hyperledger, and then creating the, either their own kind of stack or building on top of what's already an existing network. And that's the best way I can explain it. But let's go ahead and dive into the protocol, because I think that's probably the hardest thing to explain is a Stellar Consensus Protocol. And that's still something that I have trouble trying to wrap my head around. So I'm going to let Jed explain.
So this is a really old problem in computer science, is how do you have, like, if you have different servers running in like different places in the world, how do you get them all to agree on a common value, right? Like say you have a database that's replicated in two places, but you want them to be in sync. So when writes happen to it in one place, they get reflected in the other place. And people have been working on this for years, and there weren't good solutions until Bitcoin came around, and how to do this in a setting where you don't trust the parties that are updating the database, right? So, you know, there are algorithms that predate Bitcoin, like Paxos and PBFT, that allow you to do this when you know the participants, or there's a fixed set of participants. Maybe some of them can cheat, but there's a fixed set. Bitcoin was the first to do it in this like kind of wide open way where anybody can participate in the consensus, and yet that people can still be sure that everyone's agreed on the same value, right? And so this is what a consensus algorithm is supposed to do, is make it where, you know, like everyone can agree what's in essentially the database, right? It's just agreeing on a value, right? And so Bitcoin does it with this proof of work thing where everyone, you know, basically the chain with the longest amount of work dedicated to it is considered the source of truth. Whereas Professor David Mazaris created this other algorithm, which we call Stellar Consensus Protocol, SCP. And the way it works is more similar to the prior consensus algorithms that are just message passing between the participants. So what you have is you have several nodes in the system, and each node says, hey, I will agree to this value as long as these other people in the network also agree to it. And what you can show is that there, you can form what we call a transitive quorum over the whole set of nodes that are participating. And as long as there's sufficient overlap between all the nodes in the network, the whole network will agree to one value. Like if you don't have a sufficient overlap to say, like there's a bunch of nodes in the US that are all connected to each other, and there's a bunch of nodes in say Africa that are all connected together, and there's no overlap, then of course these guys will diverge and think different things. But the same is true of any consensus algorithm. You really can't do better than that if people are not talking to each other and not connected, right? So, I mean, I think, you know, the consensus algorithm is super useful. I mean, I think what's more useful if you're building on top of the platform is the stuff that we've built on top of that, right? Like what the consensus algorithm is actually agreeing on. I mean, if you're exploring, like creating, basically other people have taken SCP and used it. I think MobileCoin is using it. There's a couple projects in Korea that are using it for blockchains tailored for their specific use case that are not built just for this financial infrastructure. And it might be useful if people want to do that, but that's pretty low level. I think probably the more accessible thing is building on top of what we've already done. And then there's, you know, a whole host of things that you can build there. You know, we don't have like full on smart contracts like Ethereum does. It's not this Turing complete scripting language, but you can get pretty far. You can get, you know, basically you can do maybe, I would say, like 90% of the stuff you'd reasonably want to do. But if you're doing something super complicated, then you would need some Turing complete language. But for most applications, you could use the kind of the facilities that we have inside Stellar.
Yeah. I'm just so impressed with his forward thinking. I think that is something that there's not a lot of people in this space that has that forward thinking attitude. Definitely Vitalik is one of them. Definitely Charles is one of them. Definitely, it seems like Dan Larimore is one of them. And of course, Jed McCaleb is probably one of the few people that I think that really holds up the code as law. You know, kind of this statue that we all talk about in this space. What's even more interesting is he is already thinking about what Stellar looks like in a year or two. So check this out.
So there's always this trade-off between making your protocol simple versus expressive. And the thing is, as you make it, more and more complicated, there's just a higher attack surface and like more things can go wrong. And since what the use case we're targeting is this financial infrastructure, we want to make sure that there's as little attack surface as possible, that the thing is simple and understandable. There's been obviously like lots of, missteps in the Ethereum world, like the DAO and all the, like the parity hack and all these things. And that's as a result of the thing being like super complicated, right? Which you need for to do certain things. But I think there's this, there's this principle in computer science that you want to keep things as simple as possible to do the job, right? You want to build these simple components. And that's kind of the thing that we're kind of trying to stick to. What we're working on now is actually this ability to do kind of subnetworks, because at some point to reach scalability, we'll have to do things for like sharding and like subnetworks and things like this. And it's possible that some of those will have more complete scripting. They'll have like a Turing complete language, but I don't think the mainnet will ever have stuff like that. Yeah. We have a really great partnership with IBM. Basically, they have relationships with almost every bank on the planet, and they see that there's this huge opportunity to kind of get those banks using some like global payment system that's not Swift and has a lot of better features, right? And for us, like, we don't want to go and sell it to banks because it's a huge it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of relationships that we don't have, and it can basically for small companies. Selling to these huge enterprises can basically kill your company because it just sucks up all your time and it gets getting pushed out now. So it's a perfect relationship where IBM can go and manage those deals with banks and like consortiums of banks and things like this and other financial institutions like that, and we can provide them support because obviously if Stellar's going to be part of this solution for them, then they'll need to talk to us to help them through. And so it's kind of like this symbiosis, really, where there's essentially, you can kind of think of them as sort of like Lightyear, but at a different tier, right? So SCP is sort of, I view as kind of this like bedrock consensus algorithm. And of course, you'd want to use that in lots of other applications. I mean, it doesn't make sense to try to like throw everything into this one network. There's lots of different things you'd want to do with this consensus technology. It just makes it bloated if you just try to shove every feature in there, right? So it makes total sense that something like mobile coin, for instance, that really has a totally different use case than what we're doing, and will have different they'll have different trade-offs they want to make, and they'll have different like features they want to first class in the protocol. It makes total sense that they would do that, right? Mm-hmm. So for us, we just like to see it be used.
And finally, he talks about something that I've always thought was the right thing to do, and it's probably one of the reasons why I like this project so much, is because Jed understands the end game of this all. He understands that in order for Stellar protocol to be used worldwide, the vast majority of his coins has to be given away. I think that was probably one of the fundamental differences that caused him to leave Ripple. So it's really interesting to see that he understands that giving back and that, getting people attracted to your project requires more than just, promotions and PR. Check this out.
Well, so the idea is that, again, we're trying to build this internet level protocol that we want pretty much to be this ubiquitous thing. Like, for instance, when you're setting up a mail server or a web page or whatever, you don't think about what protocol to use. You just use HTTP or SMTP, whatever, right? And we want it to be the case here as well. Like, when you're going to send international payments, you just naturally use the internet standard for sending international payments, which is Stellar, right? And the way to achieve ubiquity and adoption is just, I think one of the good things that can benefit that is just getting it the underlying currency in the hands of lots and lots of people, right? And so that's kind of the idea behind that. Like, it's actually, you know, it's altruistic on one hand, because we're giving out a lot of it, but like ultimately I think it's what leads to success of the project. I think hoarding it is very just short-sighted. You won't achieve success. Like hoarding a bunch of stuff that's worth zero is worse than, you know, giving away 95% of something that's worth a lot. Right. So that's kind of the idea behind it. I mean, I think we want this to be widely adopted. And we also think that the people that are a lot of, you know, we're giving this away in lots of different ways. Like one of is through this like partnership grant program. So the people that are the companies and stuff that are like filling out the ecosystem can also participate and essentially be like aligned with our mission as well. And I think that's important and fair. Basically, at least in the Stellar case, like Stellar is just this low level protocol, right? You still need people like Western Union has tons of payout places. They have like where people want to go and pick up cash, right? Or give cash, right? And none of these blockchain projects are going to take that away, right? People still want to use cash at a lot of places, right? So there needs to be some like physical location. And there needs to be some wallet that people are using and interacting with. There needs to be some nice UI. And, you know, I hope that these things adopt and use the Stellar Rail. I hope Western Union or MoneyGram, they start using the Stellar Rail underneath, and they should. Like it increases the, you know, the reach of their network. But even if they don't, someone else will. I think the analogy to make is kind of like the internet. Like the internet, you know, there were tons and tons of bookstores before the internet. The internet came along. It didn't kill bookstores. It just made it where there's one bookstore now. The one bookstore that chose to like leverage to use the leverage and scale of the internet became the dominant one, right? And I think it's the same is true here. The one of these financial institutions or the handful of these financial institutions that kind of get this stuff and start using it to its maximum effect will become the dominant one, because, you know, what the internet gives you is leverage and scale. And that's something like Stellar does as well. It gives you like tons and tons of leverage, tons of scale where it's potentially possible that one financial institution could like kind of dominate the market. Right. And I think that's what we'll see.
I think we're at a point right now in Stellar's life cycle. It's still early, but I think we're at a point to where, you know, it's going to take off here pretty fast. And if you look at Jed, just his background, how long he's been in the space, because you got to remember, like, he created Mt. Gox, you know, and he designed this whole website to function as an exchange for Bitcoin. He later on sold it, but the interesting part there is he created an exchange. So he knows how to do this stuff. He's been doing it. He's seen the mistakes that he made with Mt. Gox. He's seen the mistakes that he made even in his early programming days creating eDonkey. And now he went on to Ripple. I'm sure he saw some more things that he thought wasn't the correct way of doing things. Now he's creating Stellar. And you can tell, like, he's learned, just by hearing him talk, you can tell that he's learned, you know, several different things along the way in regards to how to make this scale and understanding how the blockchain can be used in a decentralized way and in a centralized way as well. So I'm super bullish on Stellar, guys. It's one of those where I realize I'm so glad we got in early. We got in super early, right before they actually really blew up. I think it's safe to say that, you know, the Stellar Foundation is going to be around for a very long time. Obviously, there's projects being built on their network now. This very much, you know, just personally, this very much reminds me of 2015 all over again. I know I've said that several times this year in regards to Stellar, but it just reminds me so much of Ethereum in a lot of different ways. Just the mass adoption here lately, the partnerships, and the ever-present, you know, blockchain guru at the very top and Jed. They just have so much momentum going forward, and I feel there's really no other blockchain project right now doing what Stellar is doing. And it's going to get solar, man. And when it gets solar, it's not really a gamble. So with that, let's get on to the end of the show. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for letting me talk about Stellar for a whole main topic. It's literally one of my favorite projects. You guys all know that. And we've been in it from the beginning. We've been in it since 2 or 3 cents. So, I mean, there's really no reason to leave now. Hope you guys learned a lot. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. There's a lot more to learn about Stellar and the Stellar Foundation and their Stellar Consensus Protocol. And with that, buy Bitcoin and save the world. See you tomorrow.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Killer Podcast with Bar Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Carr says likely will come true. It is up to you. Now go do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto and not Carr. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.